B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. All right, trading deadline, 1 hour away. The Sixers most likely finished with what they got last night in the wee hours of the morning, where they acquired Alec Burks from the Golden State Warriors, Glenn Robinson from the Golden State Warriors, Glenn Robinson the third, and Alec Burks, and both of them. Let's look at it this way. It's not a startling acquisition, but if you look at it, it's better than what they have. All right, now whether that translates to them going up in stature remains to be seen. It reminds me of like what the Phillies did at the trading deadline last year. You said, oh my God, they need more pitchers in the bullpen. They need some more starting pitching depth. So they went and they reached out for guys that were kind of, you know, mediocre in talent. But we said at the time, well, it's better than what they had. Now, as it turned out, it wasn't better than what they had. It's hard to imagine that this isn't better than what the Sixers had, because what the Sixers lack was consistent three-point shooting, and both of these guys can knock down three-point shots. So the rotation off the bench is decidedly better. Essentially, this is a lot better than having to rely on Mike Scott and James Ennis to come off the bench. I think this puts Ennis at the back of the bench. Scott will still get some playing time. And the way it looks now, it's like Alec Burks will be a guy that spells Ben Simmons, because Trey Burke, it looks like he'll be one of the guys lopped off this team, along with Jonah Bolden and who else, Tyrone? And Kyle O'Quinn. So those guys will be lopped off. And this adds more professionalism coming off the bench, because these guys are having career years, both of them. Glenn Robinson III has come out of nowhere to be a three-point shooter. When I saw him early on, and Sixers did have him early on, it looked like he could shoot a three-point shot. So this is a guy that's obviously worked hard on that part of the game. And Burke's coming off injury. He's a pretty good player, and he's having a career year. So they got guys that are coming off of career years to add to their bench. And that's not a bad thing. So in the overall assessment, they helped themselves. Did they help themselves enough to rise up in the standings to get a better seed? I don't know. Did they help themselves enough to where I can say, you know what, now they can definitely win in the first round of the playoffs against Boston and the Miami Heat? I don't know about that either, because the Heat got better. So it's right now it's cautious optimism. And I didn't think a major deal was going to happen. And this is about the best they could do. So there were two things we talked about yesterday. One was whether they're going to proceed with this coach. That would provide a shock value. The other thing is whether they can add essential players enough to think that they could be better. And I don't know, like, I can't answer that they're going to be significantly better. They're going to be better. Significantly is what they need to rise up to a level where you can envision them playing for an Eastern Conference championship. So it's up to you to assess what is going on. Now, this is now just kind of, we're talking in a vacuum here about what the Sixers are talent-wise. What they are mental-wise is a whole different story. Because we have to mention this, and a lot of people don't think it's a big deal. I happen to think it is a very big deal. This is a team that's disjointed right now. You could tell. That Miami game showed that this team is disjointed. And to think that that was just an aberration, I think you're shortchanging the situation. You had a guy named Al Horford who came out and said there's something going on inside there. You had Ben Simmons after his worst game, where he didn't care a whit about playing in that game. And he said that we were soft. Now, on the heels of that, it's funny, I got an email from a guy yesterday. And he said, Mike, our buddy lives in South Beach, and he was at a club. He saw Ben Simmons in the club. And I wrote back, it's impossible. The Sixers flew back after the game. Well, they did fly back after the game, except one guy didn't. And that was Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons stayed over with Kendall Jenner, because apparently she had some kind of a fashion shoot or whatever it was. So he stayed over. Now, if you're the best player in the league, you could come to the arena with Jenna Jameson and walk out on center court and wave to everybody, and people wouldn't care. But when you're coming off a game like Ben Simmons is coming off of, where there are some whispers in the locker room that Joel and Ben don't exactly see eye to eye, that Ben does what he wants, that day of the game that he's sunning himself with Kendall Jenner, and then they get hammered and give up 137 points and 81 in the second half, where everybody looked like they quit on the team and the coach. And then you have the audacity to make it a social frolic by staying over, and I don't care what the Sixers say, it was a prearranged thing. It's a bad look. Any way you want to slay, if you don't see that as a bad look, as far as the fragmentation of what these Sixers are right now, then you're just caught in fandom. You're just waving a pennant and nothing matters to you. I happen to care about the soul of a team, because it's the soul of a team that can actually win something. And you don't win anything, like, it. Let's just take, I want to make you another player on that team. All right, you're on that team. You just got drummed. You know you just kind of gave up in that game. You know that one of your star players kind of gave up in the game. And then afterwards, he calls the whole team soft, including himself, I guess. And then just, it matters so much to him that he just stays over. The priority is hanging out with Kendall than going back on a plane with your teammates. Now, your teammates are on the plane. Where's Ben? Oh, he's staying over. Oh. Now, make yourself a teammate. With the state the Sixers are in right now, that doesn't matter to you? Maybe I'm too old school. But I got to think that there's somebody on that team, several, who are peeved about that kind of situation. Because they're not playing well right now. They're struggling. They're hanging on for dear life at this point. And one of your teammates is saying, what's more important to me is my social life. I get it. I know some guys out there, dude, man, he's got Kendall Jenner and you're a lonely old man. Well, that's not quite the point, right? That may be true, but that's not quite the point. I'm thinking about the team overall and what they are right now. And that, my friends, is a bad look. All right, end of story. You have your own opinion about it. I got my own opinion about it. Tyrone has an opinion. Natalie has an opinion. Tyrone, your opinion. Is that a bad look or not?
I have to be honest, and it's a bad look after a 30-some point loss in which you speak for two reasons. One, you speak after the game, and then you don't join your teammates to sort of hash out what you just said. And then the other part is yesterday, Embiid had to speak on it. That's all they got asked about was, have you tuned out the coach? Are you guys soft? Horford had to ask for Tobias Harris. And the only player who wasn't there to have to answer those questions was Ben Simmons. And that, to me, is a bad look, because once you make that initial salvo, you have to be there for the follow-up, in my opinion, because that's all we care about. And we care about it because of the way you said it. Had he came out after the game and either, like you suggested, maybe not say anything or say it's on me or internalize. But once you talk about the team had to answer for it, and he didn't have to answer for it. And whether it was scheduled before or whatever it was, it had to change when you get blown out and you make those statements, because it's a bad look on yourself and it puts your teammates in a bad spot, because they didn't get asked a single basketball question yesterday. It was all related to what happened on Monday. Everything was.
This is about your job at this point. Just reduce it to that. It's not getting carried away with the glitter of the Ben Simmons, Kendall Jenner relationship. Just look at it as the job. How does this help the job? This team is struggling to succeed. We came into this season thinking that this could possibly be a team that could play in the NBA Finals. Look what's going on. And on top of that, the audacity to parade, my social life's more important tonight. Pre-arranged. I just don't sit there. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I just don't. So we'll talk about it. The Sixers are a better team today than they were yesterday. And if that's all I get out of that, I got to be satisfied with that. You know? One guy is shooting 40% from three. The other 41% from three. They're good catch and shoot shooters. Glenn Robinson is not exactly that athletic, but Burks is. Yeah. So they're better.
They're absolutely better, and they stay long, which has been very important with this team's theme They want it to be long, and they stay long because they think that'll pay dividends.
It's they're rentals. Now, I think about the Bellinelli, Ilya Sov acquisition. It made them better. Their bench was lacking at the time, made them better. Now, for the long run, it didn't. And for the long run, this is not going to do anything because they're not going to be with them next year. This is they're on a minimum. And it's 1 year, it finishes the year, and then they go their merry ways. But for this time period now, it's better than what they had come off the bench. They had nothing coming off the bench before. Now they got a little something. All right, 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli Show. 2 o'clock hour brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyne Sons. Check out the new Husqvarna auto mower. That's right, the robot lawnmower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Go see it at the showroom in Doylestown or check them out online at paulbmoyer.com. And Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 500 votes on this one early. Are you happy with what the Sixers did? 61% say yes, 39% say no.
39% say no. What's that mean? What does that mean? You want more? You wanted more?
Some commentary. Nope, can't fix the mess they made last offseason with a couple bench players. Hell nah, get rid of Horford. Should have traded for D'Lo. Need a new coach, so it doesn't matter.
Well, you got to listen. You got to do things that are practical. I know people. I'll trade to my Horford. There's no market for Horford, folks. Come on, let's be smart about this. No one's going to take Al Horford off your hands at that price tag. You got to be practical. It's one thing to think of the guys that you want to get rid of. That's cool. But it's not easy to get rid of guys. So if the best you could do is add two better players than what you had, how is that not good? Like, that's what I don't get.
And the other part is...
Separate yourself from the fact that you didn't get, you know, like a star player.
And the other part is you see that D'Lo was traded. A lot of people wanted to trade Ben Simmons for him, and we said that was crazy.
Ridiculous.
He got what they got for him was Wiggins, a lesser player, and protected picks. So clearly Ben Simmons, they would have done that in a second. That shows you that the Sixers were smart not to make that deal.
You can trade Ben Simmons for D'Angelo Russell.
This is what there were fans calling you, remember? They're calling for that.
But that's what I'm saying. You got to look at what's realistic. D'Angelo Russell is not adequate replacement value for Ben Simmons. Come on, people. D'Angelo Russell's been peddled around the league a couple times now.
This will be his fourth team already. Lakers, Nets, Warriors, Timberwolves. It'll be his fourth team.
Yeah, you're thinking of D'Angelo Russell that was like high pick in the draft. You know, he's not a league star.
He's not.
Let's go to Charles in Philly, start things off. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charles.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Charles?
Taking my call.
How you doing?
So in the last segment, Anthony talked about basketball 101.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mike, when I watch the Sixers, I feel that they're failing basketball 101. The last three games that I watched, which was Atlanta, the Celtics, and then Miami, I said, how did they beat us? A lot of things, but what they did, they really attacked the basket a lot. The Sixers don't attack the basket. It's inconsistent. And especially Ben. Everybody says, well, Ben will be great.
Mm-hmm.
When he stops and takes that 3-point. I don't believe that. I don't care if Brent is great. He needs to be great for his team. And that means attacking the basket a lot.
Well, you're right. He has actually attacked it more recently than not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's had big scoring games. You're right. If he's not going to shoot the ball, your adequate replacement is attack, 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 attack. I get it. But see, the Sixers don't have athletic attack-the-basket players other than that, right? They just don't. Tobias is not an attack-the-basket guy. He's a guy who can transport the basketball from point A to point B and get a shot, but he's not a basket attacker. They don't have the athletic basket attacker players. They got a little more athletic with these two acquisitions.
Mm-hmm. I think Tobias is more successful when he attacks.
Nah, he's not an attacker. He's more of a medium range jump shooter when he gets mm-hmm. to an open spot. He's not a basket attacker.
Mm-hmm. I just think that they would, you know, overall, if they, you know, had that as a philosophy, when I look at these other teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to have the personnel to do it. Ben's the only guy that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just don't have guys that can attack the basket. I'm looking at guys that can attack, step back, guys that can attack, change direction with a behind the back dribble. So they don't have that guy.
And the other thing, Mike, is Ben, when he does attack the basket, I watched him in just the first quarter of the Miami game. He was between 3 and 5 feet from the basket. He turned 5 times. And he threw the ball.
Yeah, he does Everybody that else. All the time, and he can't do that. I mean, we've been saying it like every, and we always say it every day. All right, that if he's going to attack. Now the reason why we thought was like, he doesn't want to go to foul line. Well, he's shooting fouls a lot better now, so there's really no excuse. It's attack. And before he was afraid to go to the foul line, so when they would gate him defensively, he would stop and get caught in the air and turn around instead of just okay, I'm here. I've got power because I'm going to get fouled, go to the basket. His mindset has been off all year. And lately, it changed a little bit. But then he'll throw in another clunker where he won't attack. And in that game, he was invisible against Miami. And it's disheartening. And then on top of that, you see this crap with the... He's staying over in South Beach, and the day of the game, he's laying out. I don't need that. Your team is struggling right now. If your team's going Blazers, then I don't care as much. Your team is in a crisis stage. You got to think beyond yourself at this point. Let's go to Charles in Downingtown. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charles.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Charles?
Yeah, basically, I guess my whole issue with the 76ers right now is actually 2 points. Brett Brown and the basic basketball. Like, honestly, I used to be a great fan of Brett Brown. He was a good coach. I mean, he got out-coached by Nick Nurse. He got out-coached by Brad Stevens. And honestly, this year is just kind of like more of the same thing. He doesn't know how to coach against the zone. Doesn't know how to make adjustments. And honestly, I think he's going to be the first to go. I'm not a fan of trading either Joel Embiid and or Simmons solely because getting rid of both one of them, they're like once in a lifetime. So they could be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And
I get it, but now does your focus change if they lose in the first round?
Yeah, if they lose in the first round, I really think you should at least try with a new coach.
Oh, so you're not, even if they lose in the first round, you're still not splitting up Simmons and Embiid.
It depends. I mean, it all just has to go how much they get just demolished or anything yeah. like that.
First round loss, like, first round loss, bro. Doesn't matter whether they get demolished or not.
Oh yeah, and like anytime I hear Brett Brown like interviewing or anything, he's trying to be like Ernest Hemingway or something like that. We don't need a philosopher; we need a head coach.
Like, yeah, but it's, you know, it's don't pay attention to what he says publicly.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't make any adjustments. It's getting me a little frustrated just because. They just
right, listen. Here's the deal. You will agree that they're better today than they were yesterday, right?
Yeah,
because of who they added. All right. So now this is your evaluation period for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That
is that fair?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to obviously they're not going to make a move with the coach now, and they're going to see how this plays out. Whether they have added the necessary pieces to actually get where we all thought they could get. I don't think that. I think they're better today. It doesn't make me leap to a conclusion that they are 2 or 3 rounds better than where I thought they would be. But we'll just have to see. What I know is they're better now putting guys off the bench than they were. Because they gave you nothing before. Nothing. There was nothing they gave you. Joe Voorhees, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Joe?
Why is it nobody talking about the 6 years of us tanking for a sixth spot right now? We just did four or five years of tanking for all these draft picks for Simmons and Embiid, and we're talking about the sixth spot? Not one, two spot, the sixth spot.
But yeah, that shows you it hasn't worked like we thought, but it doesn't mean that they didn't get good players in that draft.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
But what are you saying?
It's got to come down to coaching. That's exactly why Jimmy Butler isn't here.
Let me ask you this: when you looked at this team all year, and the I understand you're down on the coach. What did you see personnel wise? Were you seeing something that I was missing?
No, not at all. But I just at the same time, we're worried about money paying JJ Redick and shooters. When we just paid a guy $100 million, $180 million, that can't go left.
bro, you gotta look at the time they did that. They got they didn't have any alternative. Like, what would you have done? What was your plan?
I mean,
because it's easy to criticize their plan now. At the time, what would have been your plan?
I'm not going to waste $180 million.
I'm asking you what your plan would be. So you're saying I would not have signed what? I would not have signed Horford. I would not have given Tobias the money. What would you have done then?
Now that's another topic.
Oh, well, then what are you talking about? Specifically, what are you talking about? Let's zero in on it because I want to know what you would have done.
I mean, I don't have my crystal ball.
This is the thing. It's easy to just sit here and bitch. But they made decisions. How would you have made different decisions?
You're lying to the city, telling.
I'm asking you. How would you have made different decisions? You got to have some kind of idea on what you would have done.
I wouldn't have signed Tobias Harris.
Okay, what would you have done in place of that?
I would have signed Jimmy Butler.
Okay, he didn't want to be here. He didn't want to sign here.
He didn't want to be here because it started from the top down.
It started from the top down. All right, so first thing you would have done is fire the coach then. Now we're getting somewhere. So you would have fired the coach because Jimmy Butler didn't want to play for him. Therefore, you would have then been able to sign Jimmy Butler. Is that what you're saying?
Come on, Mike.
I'm asking you what you have done. Why is it so difficult for you? You're not making any sense. You're just in bitch mode. I want to know what you would have done. Here's what happened. Jimmy Butler did not want to play here. Now, there are various theories on why he didn't want to play here. He didn't like playing with Ben Simmons. He didn't like Brett Brown. Whatever the theories were, he wanted to go to Miami. Whatever it was, he decided he didn't want to be here, and they agreed. Now, you can't force a guy to want to play for your roster because you're going to offer him the same money. So at that point, what were you then going to do? Were you also going to lose Tobias Harris? I want you to put yourself in the seat. At that point, you're going to, okay, I'm going to say goodbye to Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. Then what do I have? All right, so let's take... Well, now I have to sign Tobias Harris, so they got to overpay Tobias Harris. What I'm asking you is what you would have done differently. Now without Butler, they have an open starting position. They get a guard who can start in Richardson, but they still have a four because they can't make Tobias Harris a four. So who's the four on the market? Well, it's Horford. He's still a viable player. He still contributed very highly to the Boston Celtics. It looks like he can slide over to the five because we don't really have a backup five. So at the time, it's making sense. It's like after the fact, when nothing has played out, then you go, I'm asking you, what would you have done differently? It's really a simple question. I can sit here and bitch and moan too about how they mismanaged it. But you got to go back in time and tell me how you would have managed it. Now, by the same token, the head coach who you wanted to get rid of takes them to game seven where a four bouncer goes in. Now, are you telling me with that circumstance it would have been easy to fire the coach? Sometimes dominoes fall and they go in a certain direction. Let's go to Josh in Pottstown. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Josh?
Mike, I thought that was a great move by Elton Brand, so I applaud him for that. But the more concerning thing is what's going on in the locker room and with Ben Simmons. You know, we saw J.J. Redick come out a couple months ago and talk about the locker room, and Jimmy Butler talking about the locker room. Now we have Richardson and Horford, new guys coming and talking about the locker room. The best thing that could happen for this franchise, Mike, and I hate to say it because I've waited so long, is for them to lose the first round and completely gut this team. And I'll tell you why. I think bringing in a new head coach isn't going to make Ben Simmons shoot. It's not going to change his attitude about staying in Miami or living a Hollywood life. It might not make Joel Embiid get in the shape, and it might not make them mature. What you're going to have to do at the end of this season, obviously, is get a head coach. You're going to have to move one of them. It's just that simple, Mike. I mean, these guys have been playing together for 3 years, okay? And everybody in the league ahead of them in the East has progressed. Siakam, Tatum, Giannis. Like, these guys, like, what are we waiting for with these guys? We all keep getting told.
Well, I'll tell you something, Josh. You might be right. You know, I would have never have thought that conclusion, but if they lose in the first round with the state of disarray that I see, then you might be right. In the offseason, they may have to decide, well, we got to take it another direction. I don't know if that's going to happen, but you might be right. When you lose in the first round, it narrows your focus a little bit.
Well, even if they lose in the second round, I mean, what's going on?
If they lose in the second round, they're not going anywhere. They lose in the first round, they may think about it.
Well, I hope they play the Heat and get you know. I mean, Mike, this is bad because you have to look at moving forward here. Like, this is like, could you imagine Carson Wentz being Ben Simmons?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. With these two new guys, we'll see if they have a different flow to them.
Well, can I ask you one more point?
Sure.
Would you start Alec Burke and put Horford on as a sixth man?
I may think about doing anything at this point. Really? There's nothing off the table right now. The way, you know, they're not getting anything out of Horford as a starter, so why try it? This is now a chance to try to remold what you have. So,
okay, and one more quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Michael Rubin has some blame to do this for being the lackluster bro owner that he is and going on vacation with Embiid and giving the guys the key to this franchise so early?
You read the same story I read today, Marcus Hayes' story.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I'm not that comfortable with that ownership situation.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with owners being buddy-buddy, let's go out on the town because it's cool, look at the thing I own thing. I don't like
cool.
that.
Cool. I think that's the bigger issue that we're going to be talking about in the offseason.
Yeah, Michael Rubin is a small percentage owner of this, but... I'm frankly, and listen, he seems like a nice enough guy, and he's living his life the way he wants it. I'm tired of the celebrity thing. I am. I'm just tired of it. I don't need it. I need my ownership group to be accountable to what the product is for the fans. I don't care that they had their rich guys to have a toy. It means nothing to me. And if you're going to splash that all around, hey, I'm a rich guy that has a toy. I don't need it.
I think I look at it a little different. I look at it as if Brett Brown or Elton Brand say something, do they have to listen if they have the ear of the owner? That's always my question.
That was the big point that Marcus Hayes was making in his story today. As long as you got ownership protection, the ownership wants to party with you. And then how could the head coach, you be accountable to the head coach?
That's
a classic part. That's why I don't need it. These guys ought to be in the background evaluating what their product is instead of saying, hey, look at me, I own this product.
Well, it seems like they're more invested in the culture of the environment than actually the game.
Yeah, well, that's bad.
Yeah,
the culture of the environment is right there.
Right, but that's like you're saying, mm-hmm. like all the fanfare is there. Clearly, the Sixers, it's packed. There's all these bells and whistles. There's the whole show. There's celebrities on the sideline. It has all the makings for what should be a team that's winning, but they're not.
I don't need to look at my shiny toy that I own. I don't need it. You know what? If you're in first place, You're rolling along. Yeah. This team, I don't know.
It was one thing in the playoffs last year when they were making the push, but you lose 81 points?
It's like the rich kid that has to show off his bicycle. Yeah, I don't need it. I'm rolling around with a Huffy that I put a butterfly handlebar on to make it, you know, and repainted it to make it look new. Dude down the street, you know. I don't need to see that. All right, so let me just say there's a couple trades have been made. Pistons traded Andre Drummond to the Cavs. Now people are going to say, welcome Horford, who can trade the Cavs? Because Horford makes $30 million.
And he's older than...
Than Drummond. Marcus Morris to the Clippers from the Knicks. Now, if they had acquired Marcus Morris, I would have probably liked that a lot better than what they did. Because Marcus Morris brings something they don't currently have as well, which is a little toughness. And a guy like Marcus Morris would be a guy who on that airplane would question why Ben Simmons isn't on it. And you need a bastard in your locker room. Finally, Washington trades Jordan McRae. Oh, the late, great Jordan McRae. Remember people loved him?
Yeah.
To Denver, to Shabazz Napier. He's been tossed twice now, right?
Yeah, a lot of
Shabazz Napier has been traded twice in the last couple
of
days.
Some of this is luxury tax type stuff. I think that's part of the reason the Clippers actually had more to offer for mm-hmm. Morris than the Sixers
did. What did they give him?
They traded a player.
They traded
Mo Harkless, who's been playing well for them.
Mo Harkless?
Plus picks, yeah.
Another. Remember Mo Harkless? We had him.
Briefly. Well, like, sort of, yeah. So, that was... And they had...
Jordan McRae was part of the process.
Yes. That was... Yeah, they have not talked about the full compensation.
He was Tony Roten-esque.
Yes. That's not a... I'm not upset. I'm interested. Well, wait a minute. We got another one, it looks
another
like.
Another trade coming?
It looks like James Ennis.
Oh, James Ennis got moved? Well, yeah, they have no need for him now. What would they move him for? Breaking news, James Ennis goes. And that's for who?
Ennis to the Magic. It doesn't say for who. Now, this is the thing, though, with this. Ennis, in exchange for taking the minimum, because he was trying to win, had a no-trade clause.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if he approved this trade. So... Because they can't just trade him anywhere.
Well, I would think that he would because he sees the writing where he's not going to get PT. Like last night, he's like, good night. I tweeted, good night, Moon. Good night, Ennis. You know, these guys have one-upped. And one-up Korkmaz, too. I said, good night, Korkmaz. You know, those guys will get shifted down the end of the bench now. So they moved, and Ennis could see that handwriting. All right, 610-632. 0975 is how you get in. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
2:46. Yeah, it is the Mike Pisanelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Sixers tonight, Milwaukee. Okay, they added two players. How's that affected the line? Yesterday was -9. I'm sorry?
The two new players aren't playing tonight.
Okay. All right, so the line is still... the same. So they're short-handed because Ennis is not there.
Well,
so they're even shorter-handed.
So Shams had the tweet and then he deleted it, and I'm not quite seeing it anywhere else. So
all right, so they already left Trey Burke behind, Jonah Bolden behind,
and Kyle O'Quinn
behind, and they just traded Ennis.
Or alleged, we'll see.
Yeah, so it was per Shams, and then the tweet got deleted, and I can't find anything else.
Okay, so that's not
it.
Official.
So it's not, right, it's not official. I just want to clarify.
They may have to,
I just want to clarify that before it goes back.
Yeah.
Or it comes back. I'm still looking. Digging, Mike. Digging.
Okay. All right. In any event, they're still minus 9 tonight.
Yeah, it hasn't moved in. They may be shorthanded, so.
Yeah, this is not a good measuring stick game.
No, when you're missing your guys. They say the earliest those guys can join is tomorrow. They probably got to get, well, one, they're all the way across the country in Golden State, and then you got to still do the physical.
Yeah.
So probably tomorrow against the Grizz is when they'll probably make their debut, or Sunday against the Bulls.
Okay. Let's get back to the phones. Juan, want to sell. What's up, Juan?
Mike, how you doing? Appreciate it. I know there's been a lot of bad opinions, so I appreciate you getting me on here to give you a good one.
No opinion is bad. It just can be challenged.
I don't know. I think those last couple callers are challenging that idea. Let me hit you with this. I know we're talking a lot about Ben, and we're kind of giving a lot of heat, but like we just had Kobe, you know, pass away last week, and I think like one of the main takeaways was how quick things happened and how much the players were talking about like kind of living in the moment and being with their loved ones. So like, I find it really difficult to give Ben a bunch of crap for staying with, you know, a girl he cares about, you know, in between a tough time. Like maybe that's his version of like needing to separate and kind of decompress so he can make the run for it. So like, I just don't think it's like worth the energy to hyperventilate about Ben Simmons staying with, you know, his girlfriend after a game, you know, when every single one of us do the same thing.
Come on, man. Come on.
I don't know. You give it. Go ahead.
Come on. That's just silly. You thought the other callers were silly? Come on.
It's silly that a young 20-year-old would want to have a nice
I don't even have a response for you, man. Seriously.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What are you? You're like early 20s, right?
Incorrect.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
You're 32?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're a little too young to see the magnitude of what this means with a team that is struggling. That's not the time you pick. Like, Kobe, that happened a while ago, right? Okay. But you're telling me that he needs to be. So, in other words, everybody else on the team should fly home to be with their loved ones and not get on a team plane.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying we're not in the room with them. We don't know what dynamics they have. We don't know how they accept it. We don't know what the culture is inside of it. We just spent all day speculating about it. That's what every single caller is here is yelling about trade this guy, trade that guy, because we're speculating what the culture is. We don't know how they feel about Ben. Maybe that's what he needs. Maybe that's what they're cool with. Maybe there's going to be a time when, like, Joel needs to go off and do something with his family. Like, is that really what we want to spend our day arguing about? Like, where Ben Simmons was after a game?
Are you done?
We am. Time's yours.
Thank you. Let's go to Nick in Collegeville. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Listen, I say 19 stupid things on a radio every week. Okay, I do. Okay, but I come out and say that ahead of time. Like, I know that. But, you know, that wasn't my point, but...
It left me speechless. I know it from the kid. Come on, seriously.
Everybody likes this. This is the normal age for NBA players now. We love to say, oh, they're young and they're newly minted millionaires, but like the league would shut down. Using his premise, the league would shut down because, you know, everybody's struggling over the Kobe thing, which is serious. Look, I'm older than that guy. And I lived through the Kobe era. So should I take off for 4 days because, you know, I'm from Upper Merion and I have more connections to him?
The thing was ridiculous.
So that's not my...
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
My overall point is we love to use the word partisanship in politics, but it's really a universal term that's used outside politics. And there's a partisanship with this D'Angelo Russell / Ben Simmons thing. There's no question that D'Angelo has fleas, and he's been on four different teams in 5 years, and he has many flaws, okay? But we like to compare it to, but Ben Simmons is something more. But in the grand scheme of things, Ben has, I hate to use this term, but he has his fleas too. We all last offseason we said Ben needs to come back with some form of a jump shot. We didn't say we need to shoot 30%, 50%, 70%, some form of jump shot. And the willingness to take whatever he's comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And here we are a year later, and we don't have a little to show for. We have zero. And now we say, well, which is true. It's not going to happen this year. It just won't happen this year. We got to wait till next year, which is true. But do we hear ourselves where we keep on making these excuses? Because that's what they are. At the end of the day, they're excuses because we have the number one draft pick that was for a year and a half, everybody was saying, this is the guy, this kid at LSU. He has his pedigree and these genes, and Brett Brown was in Australia and he coached his dad and he grew up around NBA players. But at the end of the day, he has none of that. He's this guy that got drafted and has underperformed since then. Like literally, like one caller said, that other players have now transitioned past him, that were lesser players are doing more than he's doing as a greater player. And that's my whole thing about partisanship. We love to love ours, but we don't really take off the glasses and go, wait a second, there's a lot more going on here than we perceive. So.
All right. All right, thanks, Nick. Right. Well said. Right. I can't get over the two calls ago. I just can't. Let's just take it to the degree that Juan took it to, right? Let's just say that that's what Ben's intent was. So I would expect if Ben had, if this was tied into Kobe and embracing your loved ones, that Ben would have been on with her on some retreat with a holy man to find inner peace. The meaning of life and the essence of soul. But instead, he was in South Beach, glitzy South Beach, with his glam Hollywood girlfriend. I don't tie the two things together, unfortunately.
Now we have that's yes. The sound for a Woj bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Woj bomb?
Yes. Okay. And now.
I thought you were bombing Juan.
No. Okay. Leave Juan right. Alone. You already got Juan.
Okay.
James Ennis is traded to the Magic, according to Woj, for a second round pick, so they're not getting a player back.
Because they just dealt three of them.
Yeah, and they don't want to take back a player because they have two extras, so now they only have to get rid of one. So then the question now becomes, is it Jonah Bolden, is it Trey Burke, or is it Kyle O'Quinn? Is who will be the one guy that's, if they don't make another trade?
It's Trey Burke.
It'll be Trey Burke, you think?
Well, let's reason this out. He already plays Neto ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
Now he's got Alex Burks who can actually play.
He's probably going to be the backup point, yeah,
right?
Basically.
So they don't have an Embiid replacement because the Pelt thing probably isn't going to work out for him.
Right.
They'll have to keep O'Quinn like they kept Amir Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other one is Bolden.
Yeah, he could be the one.
He's the perfect veterans for around. Street clothes, though. See, he's a street clothes guy. So you don't really have to get rid of him. He's comfortable in street clothes.
I would not.
Burke is the guy that would go, I think.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if there's one more deal done. This also saves them from the luxury tax because they're going to go over next year for sure. And I think they're trying to stay out of being a repeater already because they're going to be a repeater for like five straight years starting pretty soon.
Okay. All right. Well, tonight is short then.
Yeah, they're not
very short tonight.
It's going to be tough to win tonight.
This is a gift. What's the money line on Milwaukee?
I
might have to go big on the money line here. Like 2,000 to win 100.
Let me check what it is real fast before you go to break. Let me get it.
Because I'm going
to
roll. I'm going to money line roll right now.
Money line roll.
I had another one last night. The Hall, the Pirates.
Minus any 450. Minus
450. It's a relative bargain. No way the Bucks could lose that game. Is there at home?
No. But the Sixers can just go out and just play.
That's at least a 450 to win 100. I got to get that in now. That's going to go up.
Well, get in.
All right. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.